Well, we have a quorum, so we're going to get started. Because of the session, we're not trying to be rude. Come on, sit down. But we're just eating at the same time. So you become our lunchtime entertainment.
Is that going to give you a heartburn?
Yeah. I don't think with this bill we'll have any heartburn. Representative Hausman, I'll move 2936 to get it in front of us, and it goes to the general register.
It actually it goes to the tax committee, and it may not need to stay there, but Representative Abrams wanted at least to scrutinize it to make sure there wasn't anything in there that wasn't clear from quick reading.
Very good. Welcome to our committee and your guests, and
Thank
you can go ahead
Mr.
and
Chair.
Explain.
Yes, I'm joined by Bill Hubenbecker, who's the executive director of the River Center, and by John Kelly, who's the assistant city attorney. Yesterday, this bill was heard in local government, and present then was Tom Triplett, who's the interim president of the St. Paul Convention and Visitors Bureau. Though it may look from the title as though we're doing something new here, in fact, for over a decade, there have been two organizations, the River Center Authority and the St. Paul Convention and Visitors Bureau. They did virtually the same thing, which is to promote tourism and convention business in the city of St. Paul for over a decade, and some of you who've been involved in this may know why it takes that long. We have been talking about the merger of these two organizations. We've accomplished much already. They're already housed in the same space, so that was accomplished some years ago. So a lot of the pieces have fallen into place. But now we're structurally merging those two organizations. We have a significant administrative saving. I think it's something like $250,000 administrative savings. I want to call to your attention, and Mr. Chair, I think you were copied on a letter from the Office of the State Auditor who looked at the bill, and they observed two things they wanted to have a chance to visit with us about. We did that yesterday. One of them was that the proposed nonprofit entity will not be allowed to sell its public assets. We absolutely assured them that there is no way legally that these could be anything but public assets. And I don't know if they're here today. I'm assuming that as long as we've had this conversation and we're agreeing to their points, we're okay with that. And I have, and I think I'll, with that, Mr. Hubenbecker, if you would just give them a little background.
Hi, welcome to our committee, and please identify yourself to the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Bill Hubenbecker. I'm the executive director of the River Center in St. Paul. The legislation is before you primarily because state law created the current River Center Authority in 1969. At the time, it was the St. Paul Civic Center Authority. And it was established to construct and operate the old Civic Center Arena, which has been replaced by Xcel Energy. And over the years, laws
Well, not by Xcel Energy, but...
The Xcel Energy Center.
Right.
The current arena.
A little difference there.
Yeah. And so over the years, the laws have been amended as we've built the new convention building to apply to the complex. So the legislation before you... we need your approval to go ahead with the merger and merge the two entities. The structure we're proposing will be a 501c6, and it will result in a hybrid of the current board. The new board will have a majority of mayoral appointees, including two city council members, which the River Center Authority currently has, but also have a membership elected by the Convention Visitor Bureau members, which are hospitality industry. And so, as Representative Hausman said, they'll continue to do the functions of both, just do more efficiently, have a less administration, a combined sales force, and effort to jointly market the city and the convention facility. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to answer any questions if you need
any questions
and,
of this.
And Mr. Chair, I'll say just one word about the language. There probably is far more language than we need. It's sort of boilerplate language for this kind of thing. I think we've taken it from another place in statute where in Minneapolis a similar board was formed, is my understanding from the drafter of the language. So that's the origin of the language is pretty standard stuff, apparently.
Any questions? If not, thank you. Sir, now it's your turn.
I think he's here for questions. And
that's it? You don't want to say a little hello or anything?
I'm always happy to say hello, Mr. Chairman.
Right, you got to identify yourself for the tape, then.
Yeah.
Why don't you identify who for the
John
tape?
John Kelly. I'm Assistant City Attorney for the City of St. Paul. I represent the River Center Authority, and I was involved in participating in the drafting of this legislation.
So it must be good, right?
It's,
all right. Any questions? Representative Stolberg.
Mr. Chairman, I want you to realize that when you ask him a question, since he's an attorney, that probably cost him another $100.
Careful there. Representative Newman is an attorney as well. Don't ask any questions. We want to bill. Anybody in the audience want to speak for or against this bill? If not, no other questions. I'll renew my motion that House File Number 2936 be recommended to pass to the Tax Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming down. Appreciate it. Representative Strand is going to take over for House File 2136, the radio board bill. And Representative Strand, motion as the bill sits in front of us now would go to Tax Committee, but I guess you have an amendment coming that's going to take that part out. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. If so, we could adopt the A2 amendment, I'd move that this bill be referred to the floor, to the General Register.
Okay. Representative Strand is moving that House now will be moved to the floor, 2136, and we have the A2 amendment. Why don't you go ahead and explain the A2 amendment, then we'll vote on that.
Mr. Chair, the original bill removed the 2004 sunset from the Metropolitan Radio Board completely, and it would basically remain in effect indefinitely. This is a compromise language that will still sunset the radio board, but moves it to 2006. And it also creates a situation in which the bill would be revenue neutral, so we can go to the General Register with that. I'm sorry. Maybe we can do this after the amendment, but I also have an oral amendment.
Is for this or is for the bill?
For the bill.
Okay, let's get this on in the order you want it. So any questions on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Amendment's adopted. Now you have an oral amendment you want to do to the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to delete Section 5 entirely, and I think I misspoke earlier. That is the portion that would make it revenue neutral.
Okay, Section 6 we are changing with the amendment, which should be put on. So now you just want to delete Section 5, which is the bonding tax stuff? Any questions on that?
Yes, correct, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
On page 4, lines 4 through 10, it's bonding also. Section 5 is indeed probably the issuance of bonds, et cetera. And I can understand it, deleting that, but how about 4 through 10?
Representative Strand.
Let me check on that, Mr. Chair.
Maybe council can help.
Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Shepherd, do you want to? Or do you want to wait for them first? See if they're right or wrong.
This is policy.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'm being told that that is policy versus bonding related.
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, members, I perhaps the reason that Representative Strand may be suggesting deleting Section 5 is because it would have increased the bonding authority. Section 4 does not increase the bonding authority. It just relates to how the existing bonds are issued.
Okay. Everybody, that's okay with everybody?
Mr. Chairman, can I just, on that, can I ask what the changes on it? Let's adopt the oral amendment.
On the oral amendment to delete Section 5. No other discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, now we got the bill in the order. Representative Stolberg.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask how the existing bonds are changed from council under Section 4?
Representative Strand.
If I could, Mr. Chair, can I have Bill Dean, the Executive Director from the Radio Board, answer that question?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Mr. Dean, well.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee,
You have to identify yourself.
Last session...
Well, just tell them who you are.
I'm sorry. My name is Bill Dean. I'm the executive director of the Metropolitan Radio Board. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing us to appear before your committee today. To answer the question about the bonds, right from day one, the radio board had the authority to essentially ask the Metropolitan Council to issue bonds for it on behalf of the board and on behalf of the project. Last session, in anticipation that a bonding authority was going to be transferred over to the State Planning Committee, which is the nine-member committee that is planning outstate expansion, the ability to trigger the bonds or to request that the bonds be sold was transferred to the State Planning Committee from the Metropolitan Radio Board. The radio board is in the process of building out the metro area, and the $18 million in bonding authority that is in existing law, the board felt should continue to reside with the board. The board has worked with the local units of government in the metro area, and the board's position is that the board is in a better position to determine if and when that request should be made to the Metro Council. This change would not affect the bonds that were designated for the outstate build-out, only for the metro portion, which is governed by the Metro Radio Board.
Okay. Any other questions? Anybody in the audience like to speak for or against this bill?
Mr. Chair?
I just had two quick testifiers, if I may.
Right. That's fine. I know we got one of them sitting in the audience. Let him come up. But go ahead. Who you want to have first?
Mr. Chair, I'll have the chair of the radio board speak first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is David McCauley. I'm a member of the Anoka County Board of Commissioners, and I'm chairman of the Metropolitan Radio Board. I'd like to appear today to urge you to adopt 2136 as amended. I've been involved with the Metropolitan Radio System project since 1993 when the then-Governor Carlson created a committee to study build out of the metro area of a regional trunk radio system. Subsequently, when the legislature created the Metropolitan Radio Board in 1995, I became chair of that organization and have held that position ever since then. In 1997, the Metropolitan Radio Board created an RFP to actually begin the construction of the Metropolitan Radio System. That construction was largely completed in 2002. To create a system-wide backbone that all of the local law enforcement agencies, the state of Minnesota and its departments, can use in the metropolitan area. As we are aware, with the advent of the September 11th disaster, a lot has been happening and there's been activity on a statewide level to build out the system throughout the state of Minnesota to improve interoperability and to replace outmoded radio equipment throughout the state and to increase capacity, particularly in the metropolitan area. Our interest on the part of the Metropolitan Radio Board is that we're, while we've got the backbone system running, the effort to install and bring all the local units of government in the metropolitan area on board is a difficult one, an expensive one, and a time-consuming one. Anoka County will be the third county to actually begin operation on the system. Our current timetable is that we will be in full operating capacity probably in late November, early December this year. In doing that, Anoka County is spending about $12.5 million of county dollars in order to purchase the necessary equipment and make all the tower construction and all the other infrastructure that's needed to operate on the system. Following us, we have Ramsey County and the City of St. Paul who are probably going to be next up. We have several communities in Hennepin County that are busy either completing their plans or in the process of beginning to purchase equipment. Following them, we have Dakota County, Washington County, and Scott County who have yet to develop plans but are in the process of coming on the system. So we have a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of effort that has to be made. clearly, in our view, this particular system is really designed as a shared system between the state and local units of government. Local units of government represent about 80% of the use of the system, both in terms of the number of radios that will be on the system and of the level of radio traffic. And if you stop and think about it, that's a pretty logical assumption. If there's a fire in your community or an explosion at an elevator or a serious traffic accident on one of your streets, the responders that come to those are the local police, fire, emergency medical services. They're the people that show up. The sheriff's departments in greater Minnesota are the ones that will be carrying a lot of the load for the initial response to incidents. So local units of government have a tremendous stake in this system. We are seriously concerned that if the Metropolitan Radio Board goes away, that our inability to continue the governance aspect and to be in control of the environment that's critical to us to do our public safety job will make our job difficult and make it hard for us to control the costs that we have to bear to use the system. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we support the legislation. We're hopeful that the legislature in its wisdom will let the Metropolitan Radio Board continue in existence for at least another 2 years while we work out the problems of how do we replicate this, I think, unique and successful method of partnering between state and local governments on a statewide basis so that all of Minnesota can benefit from it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kahn.
I've sort of supported this through the years, but that's kind of one of the things that worries me about it. How can you have what was supposedly a technological, cutting-edge, modern system take so long and still be technologically in tune, still be cutting-edge, and so forth? I mean, hasn't something happened that one could say might make this obsolete?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, that's an interesting question, and it has an interesting answer. When we started on this project, there was one single vendor of radio equipment, Motorola, who provided most of the backbone equipment, if you will, to operate this system. But there's two elements to that. The first one is that an organization called APCO has developed a standard called Standard 25 that relates to radio, trunked radio equipment that's used in public safety. And this system was built to be compliant with that standard. And that standard is not yet even complete. It's still being developed. So in that sense, the standard is evolving as technology evolves. Secondly, when we contracted with Motorola, the original system that we contracted for was at that time cutting edge. Motorola came to us shortly after the project began and said, you know, we're working on the next generation. If we install the current generation equipment in the metropolitan area, it'll be a one of a kind because the next generation is what we're going to build. We're not going to build what you're going to install. And they offered to let us migrate to the next generation, if you will, as part of that construction project, literally at no cost to the Metropolitan Radio Board. Once that process began, in working with Motorola, they offered us the opportunity to become what's called a beta test site for the latest version of the software that they're using on the newer generation of hardware. We agreed to do that. It caused us a month or two of delay because of the extra effort Motorola had to make to get the system software working to their standards. Those changes put us up again up at the leading edge of what was being developed and offered, and I think today the software that we're using and the hardware that we have in the system is still the kind of the latest and best equipment that you can buy. It is troubling though that when we look at trying to build this out state, the enormous investment that's made and the strain on local units of government to purchase and install equipment to get on these new version of communications stretches that development project out way, way, way too long. And I think everybody is working as hard as they can to shorten up that time frame. Later on, you may hear from Mr. Whitehead of the Department of Public Safety. We'll talk about the statewide build-out and the efforts that they're making to shorten that timeline so that we can all benefit.
Okay. Is there anybody else you have to testify?
I have one more testifier, Mr. Chair. If I can have Sheriff McGowan from Hennepin County, you know, make a few brief comments.
I figured he came here to talk. He didn't come just to listen. So. Sheriff, welcome to our committee.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Pat McGowan, Hennepin County Sheriff. I'm here to speak on behalf of this bill. I think Chairman McCauley articulated all the reasons for the bill. I would be reiterating the points that he made. I can offer you some more points in saying that. I think in every event since 9/11, and actually prior to 9/11, if you go back to Oklahoma, if you go back to the 1993 Twin Tower bombing, communications has been identified as the single biggest lapse of being able to, for first responders, the biggest obstacle for us to overcome, and this is a system that addresses that. So, Mr. Chairman, unless there's questions, I would probably be redundant in what my testimony would be.
Anybody have any questions? Any Representative Strand?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to mention that you do have a list of cities and counties in support of this bill. And in addition to Mr. McCauley and Mr. Sheriff McGowan, Sheriff Orkart from Olmsted County is also here in support. However, because his name is not Irish, I don't think we should ask him to testify.
as if it makes a difference to me. Did you want to? I think, to be fair, I think he was already testified on another bill earlier committee, so he's right. We'll let you speak again.
Steve Borkart, Sheriff of Olmsted County. Mr. Chair and members, and in this particular occasion, I'm testifying on my own behalf and not on behalf of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. I sit on the statewide planning board, or committee, radio planning committee, as a representative of the State Sheriff's Association. However, I speak in favor of this bill and the compromise that's been negotiated. This issue of what is the best governance system has arisen this year as something that could potentially hinder an orderly outstate expansion. And I happen to believe, and I can speak for the people from St. Cloud on this particular point, that outstate expansion on a very timely basis is essential, particularly relative to federal funds that we've been able to acquire from the Homeland Security Project. And the question becomes then, which is the best form of governance statewide going forward? And we have two models in front of us. We have the Metropolitan Radio Board model, and of course then we have the Statewide Planning Committee model. The debate as to what are the best features of each could rage for some time, and I think it's essential that we have more time to work that out, because ultimately the model that we hit upon may not be either one, but may be a negotiated model that's a little bit different, or a combination of both. I think to try to squeeze that debate into the months that are left between now and July could have no other result than to hinder our ability to make progress implementing this system statewide. So I think this is a good bill at this point, and I support it personally.
Thank you. Anybody in the audience? Anybody else? If not, any questions? Representative Silver.
Chair, can I just ask one question? I know that our obligation from day one on this has been building of the backbone. And the other obligation for coming onto the system is supposed to have been the obligation of the local units of government. And I think if I recall history, I want to say maybe Carver County or one of those counties indeed came on board with their own expenses. Then a few years ago there was a request from, I don't know if it was Minneapolis or Hennepin County or somebody, for the state to help fund the local units of government to come onto the system. And I want to be assured from the witnesses that this is still going down, building the backbone, the state obligation, and not helping the local units of government come onto the system.
Mr. Dean?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Representative Solberg, I think you're correct about the original language of the bill, and the original intention was that the state would build the system, the backbone, and that local units of government would pay 100% of the local costs of coming out of the system. 2 years ago, the legislature changed that policy and authorized additional bonding to begin the 1st of July of 2004, and authorized the radio board to request that the Metropolitan Council issue new bonds And the purpose of that was to provide up to 50% of the cost for local units of government to come on the system. The reason for that essentially was it was in the anti-terrorism bill, and it was a response to what happened on 9/11 and the very, very critical need that was observed during the events of 9/11 for interoperable communication. And because most of the counties and cities in the metro area under the original plan could not afford to come on or felt they couldn't afford to come on anytime soon, and because of the need to respond more quickly after 9/11, the legislature changed its policy and determined that up to 50% of the cost for local units of government would be paid for out of bonds supported by an increase in the 911 surcharge. And that's in the law today. So that's our current situation, Mr. Chairman, members.
Mr. Chair, what that says is that that the additional bonding authority it comes to help connect the metropolitan area law enforcement, and my area of the state is paying for it, and with the 911 surcharge. And if we would use go back to the old system, which was kind of put in because of not 9/11, but as the sheriff said, the need for communications and, as a result of some other activities before that. And quite frankly, we could be building a statewide system a lot faster in some of the other areas with that money. But that's, I know that that the current commissioner of public safety was very instrumental in getting that changed.
Okay. Anybody else? President Strand, anything final? We want to renew your motion?
No, sir, I'll renew my motion.
At House File 2136, be recommended pass to the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill is on. Members, we have a set of minutes with a couple errors in them, so Representative Lesh is moving the minutes of March 9th, 10th, 12th, 15th, and 16th with the following changes. On the minutes of the 16th, it should say Tuesday, not Monday. And on the minutes of the Friday, the 12th, we adjourned at 5:15, not 7:15. Is that correct, Representative Lesh?
That's absolutely correct.
All right. We have your word on that. Thank you very much. All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, as far as we know at this point, this is it for the week, unless something happens and around here. We got to be fluid. So but that's the way it is. Congratulations on your bill.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you came down. At this point, we're adjourned.